Welcome, everybody. You are listening to The Maggie Dawn Show here on the Civic Media Radio Network. Big thanks to my last guest and co-host, James Santel, former U.S. attorney. You can find his fine work Saturday mornings from 9 to 11. His show is called Amicus. I check it out on Saturday when I'm doing my household chores. I recommend you check it out as well. Thank you to Jim for being with me. As we handled some breaking news, we have yet again planes in the air taking people to South Sudan in apparent clear violation of multiple court orders. We'll continue to try to keep you up to date on developments as they unfold in that bit of breaking news. I am very pleased to now bring on with me my very special next guest. His name is Lowell Barrington. He's an associate professor in the Department of Political Science at one of my alma maters, Marquette University. His teaching and research focus on post-communist politics, ethnicity, nationalism, and democratization. He's received research grants from the National Science Foundation and the National Council for Eurasian and East European Research, and he is also a research affiliate with UW-Madison Center for Russia, East Europe, and Central Asia. Welcome back to the Maggie Dawn Show, Professor Barrington. It's a pleasure to have you.
Thank you, Maggie. It's good to be back.
To set the stage here, I had a couple of my fine producers put together what I think we can call a montage of things Trump has said about the Russia-Ukraine conflict to level set and to place the two-hour phone call between President Trump and Vladimir Putin that occurred yesterday in context. It's a little long, Professor Barrington, but I thought it's important to know where we have been with President Trump's view of the Ukraine-Russia conflict and where we stand now to contrast those two competing versions of the conflict that have come from this administration. With that, Jacob, let's take a listen. This is Donald Trump over the last couple of months on the Ukraine-Russia conflict.
If I'm president, I will have that war settled in one day, 24 hours.
Before I even arrive at the Oval Office, I will have the disastrous war between Russia and Ukraine settled. I would get a settlement in 24 hours.
That is a war that's dying to be settled. I will get it settled before I even become president.
And within 24 hours, that war will be settled. It'll be over.
I will get it solved in rapid order, and it will take me no longer than one day.
I'm going to try, and I think I can, get it ended as president-elect. In other words, before I even take over the White House.
We're having very serious discussions about that war, trying to get it ended with Russia.
And I think we're on the way to getting peace. I think President Putin wants peace, and President Zelensky wants peace, and I want peace.
Maybe Russia will give up a lot. Maybe they won't. And it's all dependent on what is going to happen. The negotiation really hasn't started.
And I think I have the power to end this war. And I think it's going very well. But today I heard, we weren't invited. Well, you've been there for 3 years. You should have ended it 3 years. You should have never started it. You could have made a deal.
If you didn't have our military equipment, this war would have been over in 2 weeks.
In three days. I heard it from Putin. In 3 days. This is something
maybe
new.
Less.
In 2 weeks.
Okay. It's going to be a very hard thing to do business like this.
Please,
you're running low on soldiers. It would be a damn good thing.
Then you
tell us, I don't want a ceasefire. I don't want a ceasefire. I want to go, and I want this. But you're either going to make a deal, or we're out. And if we're out, you'll fight it out. I don't think it's going to be pretty, but you'll fight it out.
As a candidate, you said you would have this war settled in 24 hours.
Well, I was being a little bit sarcastic when I said that. I would. What I really mean is I'd like to get it settled.
Okay, Professor Barrington, a lot there. What I think is worthy of note, first of all, I want to, again, thank you for joining us. You came on the show initially on March 3rd, which was the Monday after, and we heard some of the sound from what can be described as a disastrous meeting between President Trump and Volodymyr Zelensky, president of Ukraine, along with J.D. Vance in the Oval Office. Here's what I find curious, and I'd like to get your take on this, Professor. Donald Trump, throughout the campaign, throughout the first months of his presidency, centered himself, put himself forward as the only person, as the person without whom there can be no peace settlement between Ukraine and Russia. Again, placing himself really at the center of that. It seems that his tune has changed following his call with Vladimir Putin yesterday. Professor Barrington, do you detect a change in the Trump administration's approach to the Ukraine-Russia conflict and the U.S.'s role in brokering a peace? It seems to be that Donald Trump and J.D. Vance are priming the pump to simply walk away.
I think that's fair. I think the statement that President Trump made toward the end of that a long list of slightly to a lot painful statements from him was that he really wants to get this done. And I think that part is true. I think his goal of wanting to look good and wanting an agreement, I think, is still there. I will absolutely agree with you that I think that the meeting with Zelensky and then more recently, again, this sort of suggestion that if this doesn't come together quickly, the U.S. may just back out of the effort, I think is a change. And it's one that, again, is music to Putin's ears, right? I mean, that sometimes in negotiations, there's a kind of bluff you make, which is I'm going to walk away. The problem with that for Putin, it would be a really strange bluff for Trump to make because that only benefits him in delaying things longer. And he thinks, helping kind of squeeze Ukraine further in this.
Yeah, that's what, to be blunt, Professor Barrington, that's what concerns me so greatly about this about face, for lack of a better term. Donald Trump on Truthy Social yesterday after the call, his post included this: the conditions for a ceasefire will be negotiated between the two parties as it can only be, because they know the details of a negotiation that nobody else would be aware of. That if Donald Trump and J.D. Vance are saying to Vladimir Putin, Volodymyr Zelensky, and the world, listen, you two figure it out. Otherwise, the United States is going to walk away from its support of Ukraine, I fear, takes any possible pressure on Russia and it wipes it away. Why would Russia want to have or agree to any ceasefire if the U.S. is saying, well, we're going to stop supporting Ukraine, we're backing away from this entire conflict? Why? What incentive is there, if any, for Russia to negotiate any sort of ceasefire or a more lasting, stable, durable peace resolution with Ukraine?
Right. The only thing that would make Putin think about that at this point would be a string of losses on the battlefield, in a way. And I would add, I mean, walking away is really bad. It's a terrible signal. And by the way, it's very interesting, maybe not surprising, but interesting that Europe has been mentioned nowhere in any of these conversations, right, by the U.S., at least in terms of helping find a solution to this. So it's really not about finding a solution. It's about getting credit for a solution. But in a way, walking away changes things less than I think some people might think, because there hasn't been, I mean, we haven't put pressure as an American government on Putin throughout this process since inauguration. So, and this is a point, again, it's not lost on people. Europe's foreign policy chief for the European Union basically talked about how we haven't seen any kind of pressure on Russia from the talks. Dan Quayle, of all people, talked about the fact that, you know, Trump hasn't put any pressure on Putin and he doesn't understand why. And if you want leverage, you have to actually pressure someone to use the leverage.
Right.
So I think, you know, even to the point of saying we're going to walk away, which again, I agree with you, is not a good thing. And it's a bad signal about kind of the you're on your own nature of it. Although Europe, again, would disagree with that. But I do think in a way we've not been putting pressure on Russia from the start, really, in the last few months.
Well, then let me turn and pivot and ask you a different question. Would it be fair to say that starting on January 20th with the inauguration of Donald Trump, that all meaningful leverage against Vladimir Putin to come to any kind of ceasefire in effect evaporated, that Donald Trump has signaled in subtle and not so subtle ways that really the U.S. is not going to bring to bear any of its powers in a meaningful, substantive way to bring a resolution to this conflict. And in fact, that the U.S. actions under the Trump administration will be and will inure to Russia's benefit in all material ways.
Well, the Russian government certainly sees it that way. And I would note that the reaction in the Russian media to the phone call was a celebratory one. I mean, they thought it was a huge win for Russia at the end of the day that they had this phone call. And essentially, it looked like Putin could just dismiss Trump without any, you know, punishment for doing that. I mean, I would push back a little bit on the idea that it was guaranteed that this that we wouldn't have leverage. I think there's a, you know, there's a bit of that only Nixon can go to China kind of theory here that maybe Trump would have surprised us and of all people actually would have put pressure on Putin. And there were occasionally there's hints of that, right? Like he starts to kind of publicly state that he's a little bit suspicious of Putin's intentions sometimes, you know, things like that, right? But you're right, he's not acted on that. So Europe has put new sanctions on. We refuse to do that. And so at kind of every step, when there was an opportunity to really kind of push Russia, we haven't done that. But again, those are kind of choices. I'm not sure it was predetermined. It was just consistent with his odd infatuation with Putin.
Yeah, it seems to me beyond sort of the performative lip service that Trump has given, that it was sort of the expectation from the Trump camp on January 20th was, well, okay, we'll take a victory lap on this after they all fall in line at Donald Trump's urging. Oh, wait, foreign policy might be difficult and hard and require planned out leverage and detailed negotiations over a period of time. Oh, well, we don't have either the will or the attention span or the aptitude for that. What concerned me most as you tipped your hat to Professor Barrington coming out of the phone call yesterday was precisely the fact that it seemed to me that Vladimir Putin told Donald Trump to butt out, that there is no role for the United States to play at the negotiating table. And Donald Trump said, okay, fine, Vlad, we'll butt out now. Let me know when I can come play in the sandbox again. When we come back, we're going to continue our discussion. We're going to put Professor Barrington on hold for a moment because, of course, we have newly announced Supreme Court candidate, Judge Appeals Court Judge Chris Taylor joining us. Thank you to Professor Barrington, who's going to hang out. We're going to pick up with Professor Barrington at the end of the hour, bring on Judge Taylor next. We're going to discuss with Professor Barrington, is Donald Trump signaling his weakness to America's enemies based on his mishandling of the Ukraine-Russia conflict? And of course, when we come back, Judge Taylor joins us to discuss her newly announced campaign for the Wisconsin Supreme Court. We've got the first live interview, the exclusive, right here on the Maggie Dawn Show. Keep it locked. You're listening to the Civic Media Radio Network.